This evening, we're going to be looking at a portion of the 14th chapter of 1 Kings. I'm hoping to cover about the first 21 verses, because I really already covered the letter portion of it when we looked at 2 Chronicles on last week, I think it was the 12th chapter. So it's pretty much the same account. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray, and then we'll go ahead and commence with our lesson for this evening. God, we're grateful again for this opportunity to come together so that we can look at your scripture and be reminded of your truths. As we go about from day to day, sometimes it seems that we're so busy, and unfortunately, I think that the sad truth is that in some cases, we don't think about you as much. However, when those trials and tribulations come, we know that we're to remain in your stead and to be faithful to you. It's my prayer that you will continue to fortify us. It's also my prayer, dear Lord, that you will help us to avail ourselves to your scripture, because you told us that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And it is our consolation to look back in the scripture and to find strength. It is our consolation to look in the scriptures and find hope in times of trial, in times of testing. But you've always required faithfulness. You've always required a contrite spirit and obedience. Being humans who walk the face of this earth, there's so many things that will compete for our attention, and to, if we're not careful, draw us wayward. We don't want to be that way, but we ask the Lord that you will help us. Various things that are going on in our lives, whether it's bills, things with families, dear Lord, or just yielding to your Holy Spirit. I'm asking for your help for each and every person that was in the sound of my voice, whether it's on this evening or listening to the podcast. Help me to say only what you would have me to say tonight. And if we should have discussion, dear Lord, help it to be an edifying nature, that it edifies your body, dear Lord, body of Christ. I'm asking these things in your son, Jesus' name, amen. So I'm excited to be able to talk tonight, or go back to the scriptures and look at some of the things that we have been seeing. And as you know, I like to kind of give sort of a synopsis of where we were the previous lesson. So our previous lesson on last Tuesday night, we were in 1 Kings, the 13th chapter. And then we did a little bit of 2 Chronicles, the 12th chapter. We've been looking at the split kingdom between Israel and Judah. And it was Solomon, then Rehoboam, and Jeroboam. So I want to give just a synopsis, if I can, or review of what we looked at on last week, and then bring us in, if I can, into where we're going to be focusing on this particular evening. Last week, we finished up in the 14th chapter, where there were two prophets. And Jeroboam basically had been rebuked by a prophet that came up from Judah and went to Jeroboam. Jeroboam was that, I say, stubborn king, but that seems to fit so many of them. Stubborn king who had decided to make two calves, put one in the southern portion. No, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about northern Israel above Jerusalem. So that southernmost part in Bethel, and then he put a calf up in Dan. God did not give him permission to do it. He had said, "Thou shalt not have any other God before me." And he had said, "Don't make any graven image." Whether he had meant for those images to represent God or not, he did the wrong thing. There's a prophet who goes to Jeroboam. As Jeroboam is about to, do a part of a service where he's worshiping and doing a part of the ceremonial things. And this prophet prophesies against this altar, says that this altar is going to split, says the ashes are going to be poured out. Jeroboam doesn't like what he hears, and he tries to have this prophet arrested. I said attacked last week, but he wanted to stop the will of God. Jeroboam's hand shriveled up. And I think it's a beautiful picture of, like, when you try to work against God, It can be immediate, or sometimes it can come after the fact, but you're not going to be successful when you try to work against God. And this man's, Jeroboam's hand, it froze up, if you will, atrophied, maybe even to the point of what Tim was saying the other night, like the crypt, sort of skeletal. I don't know, but he got a little scared. Oh my God. Could you imagine the fear on this man when he's trying to speak against God's servant? Well, Jeroboam prays to the prophet, "Will you ask God to restore my hand?" And God does it at the request of the prophet. This prophet goes on, and he was told by God, do not have fellowship by way of eating with the king or anyone. So you return, you come back to Judah another way. An older prophet, seems like he wasn't being used by God anymore. He goes on and he convinces this first prophet, the initial prophet, to come back with him, and God kills him. Seems very harsh. But the more I look at what God did to the second prophet, it's like, you disobeyed me and I'm going to deal with you. And I believe it was a picture for the king. I believe it was a picture for Jeroboam, because I believe the word would have gotten back to him. That man that you tried, the prophet that you tried to get back to have fellowship, eat and dine with you, he died because he did the very thing God told him not to do with someone else. Well, so we went on through, and then we went into the Second Chronicles, the 12th chapter. Now, I think I said on last week that I didn't believe it was in the Kings. Well, if I said that, I was wrong. It's actually in this letter portion of chapter 14 tonight. So you say, what's the chronology? Is the chronology of what was in 2 Kings, the 12th chapter, did it actually happen before or after the part that we're going to look at tonight? What I've looked at, scholars aren't necessarily sure. Some believe it was before, some believe it was after. So when we actually get to our portion on tonight, chapter 14, verse 1, it's going to say at that time. So since it's not, at least with the resources that I looked at, so sure, let's just understand that it's within the time frame where Jeroboam has been rebuked by the prophet. I hope that makes sense. So again, just to kind of finish where we were looking at in 2 Chronicles, the 12th chapter, as we near where I want to talk about tonight. Rehoboam, we're still looking at Rehoboam, who was the king in Judah. Rehoboam turned evil. You remember when the priest and the Levites had left the southern kingdom because Jeroboam had changed God's, the feast days he wanted, and he set up those idols. So a lot of Levites went down south to Judah, and the Bible said that Jeroboam was strengthened, and we learned that it was for 3 years. Around that fifth year, the Bible tells us Rehoboam disobeyed God. Lord, have mercy. A split kingdom and a disobedience up in the north and disobedience in the south. What's God going to do with this creation? He's a patient God, but he still judges. Well, when Jeroboam decided, I'm going against God, God sends Shemaiah the prophet, and he says, you know, I'm just going to say it this way. God is displeased with you, what you've done. You've been disobedient. Now he's going to deal with you, and he's going to let Shishak from Egypt come up. And so Shishak, along with some, I think it's the, I forgot some of the names, the Ethiopians, the Succums, just to say different nations from Egypt, and they're going to come up, and they're basically going to deal with you. Well, Rehoboam, he humbles himself. The people humble themselves, and Shemaiah, he goes back to him and says, you know what? God's not going to deal with you as severely, but you will be, vessels under them. God, you're going to learn what it is to be my servants. So Shishak, I hope you're able to follow me, because we're about to go into the 14th chapter. Shishak takes those wonderful, opulent golden shields that Solomon had built. A representation of God's blessings, his prosperity, and the abundance that they had. However, it didn't, just because it was a representation, didn't mean God had to keep it. Didn't mean that he had to keep it that way. It's never about the material things with God, though. He can use them. He wants obedience. Well, this is kind of where we're picking up tonight, but let me go ahead and finish that last little bit. To replace those golden shields, Rehoboam had bronze shields, replicas to replace those shields. And it's a picture, if you will, of how there was a degenerate state and a lessening of what God was doing with the people, not because of God, but because of the disobedience from the leadership. Well, tonight, we're going to be picking back up in this 14th chapter, looking at a few verses. So let me give you my title, and then I'm going to try to make it make sense. My title tonight is Legacy and Posterity with or Without God. Legacy and Posterity with or Without God. So I believe most of us know what a legacy is. A legacy is something whereby an individual in his or her life, different things that he does, she does, whether it's contributing to a cause, whether it's being wise and imparting wisdom. And sometimes people don't even know that they're leaving a legacy, whether it's good or bad. But whatever an individual's life is, for those who would come after, it's a type of legacy. Posterity, generally when we're looking at the scriptures, when we think of posterity, we think about those of a family. Let's call it seed, my son, my daughter. Eventually, if there are grandchildren, it's going to be my posterity. In the Bible, God told Adam and Eve, he said, I want you to be fruitful and multiply. And he wanted to deal with the family and the nations of the earth so that he could be glorified in the earth. It's like God wanted the family of the world, the universe, to represent him. It is true. It's even true when you look at the Hebrew nations, how they were to continue to honor family, not mistreat family. Let's bring it back to this. Legacy and posterity with or without God. These kings, first of all, were supposed to be in leadership and honorable, righteous examples of God's justice to the nations. But let's say even before that, I would say, possibly, that the very offspring, their sons, were to get a godly example from them because they, one, let's say the oldest or the eldest, would be prince and possibly become king and continue in the righteous justice of the father. In some cases, we could say Saul, David, or what have you, who was to represent God. So as we near finally getting into the text, I want to remind us of something. Saul was told when he disobeyed God and tried to kill David for so many years, he says, I'm taking the kingdom, not necessarily in that order. I'm going to take the kingdom from you and give it to someone else. That's what God told Saul. You'll read about it in the first Samuel 15th chapter. Saul was going to force his will against God anyway. When he learned that David or someone else better than him was going to be king, he tried to kill the very one that God said it was going to set up. He left a poor legacy for Jonathan. David knew that he had been blessed by God and was going to be crowned king. As a matter of fact, he was anointed years before he became actual king before the people. He lost some influence when he stole Uriah's wife and had Uriah killed. But he didn't lose the kingdom. Why? Because he repented. Solomon later on comes on the scene, and God tells him, because you have set up all of these, you're worshiping these gods, these idol gods. Go back and read in the 11th chapter of 1 Kings. He says, I'm going to split the kingdom and I'm going to give it to part of these tribes to someone else. We continue to see in the scriptures that the men who are supposed to be kings and to represent God, they keep going outside of God's will and God judges them. Well, he said the kingdom is going to split and he gives part of the kingdom to Rehoboam. And I just reviewed how Rehoboam, after 3 years of being blessed, he goes against God and then he's going to eventually lose his life. What are we going to talk about tonight? legacy and posterity with or without God. Tonight, we're going to look at the fact that there's a disguise that takes place. We're going to see how Jeroboam tries to use a disguise to usurp, if you will, something that he has learned from that prophet whose hand, who cursed the altar that he was wanting to worship upon. Well, it's not something that is, how can I say, scarce per se in the Bible. Disguises are often seen in the Bible. I'll remind you of maybe two or three, and then we're going to delve into the text for tonight. Well, if you think about Rachel and Leah, Leah was disguised, and it was probably by dark, and she had the veil on herself, and she feigned to be her sister Rachel. If you think about Joab had a woman to pretend to mourn, and when he wanted to make a point to David about bringing Absalom back. Let's do one more. Even Saul, when he felt that all was going against him and he wanted to talk to Samuel, who had passed and gone to rest in a manner of speaking, he went to the witch of Endor. He was dressed differently. He says, bring up Samuel. He disguised himself. Tonight, Jeroboam, as we look at the scripture, he's going to ask his wife to disguise yourself. But in spite of any disguise that he could put on, he couldn't deceive or trick God. We shouldn't try to disguise the way we're going to live in life, because there's going to be a proper or an improper legacy left to our posterity if we should have it. Let's delve into the scriptures tonight. We've got about 21 verses or so that we want to look at. So again, this is around the time where Jeroboam's hand had shriveled. A little bit of time passes. Rehoboam exalts himself, and Shemaiah gives him a prophecy. And then we're going to look at pronouncement against Jeroboam's son. Dree, if you'll take the scriptures and read a few verses until I ask you to stop.
At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people. And take with thee 10 loaves, and cracknels, and a cruse of honey, and go to him, and he shall tell thee what shall become of the child." And Jeroboam's wife did so, and arose and went to Shiloh, and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. And the Lord said unto Ahijah, "Behold, the wife of Jeroboam comes to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be, when she comes in, that she shall feign herself to be another woman."
Let's stop right there. Five verses that Dree has read tonight. What's going on? Okay, so what we want to understand, because I don't think it's necessarily explicit, at least in this text tonight, the kingdom, or let's say the practices, the worship services, if you will, I hate to say that, God had allowed a certain way that the people could approach it. They had been cursed by the prophet in the previous chapter. This altar shall split. In other words, you thought that you could set up a different style of worship. You thought that you could change the very date. You felt that you could usurp what God had said. But God had told you, Jeroboam, he said, if you remain with me, I will remain with you. Understand something, though we're not in that chapter tonight. This king understands that his posterity, his reign, his rulership is about to end. Think about his hand. Do you think he didn't understand that his kingdom was wretched? So what Abijah does, it looks like we see he's thinking about his son. Think about that son being a possible prince. Think about that son being the next in line who would assume the throne. Well, the Bible says at that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. As any parent who would understand what it is to be a true parent. And I say that loosely because he should have done, the king should have been really righteous if he wanted to serve his child well. He began to wonder about his son. But I don't think it's necessarily just my son is sick. No, it's like, what does this mean about my posterity? What does this mean about the kingdom continuing on in my name? Well, second verse says, and Jeroboam said to his wife, arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself. I'm worried. My hand has been withered. This is our hope. Abijah, he's our hope. We got to find out what's going to happen to him. I know what God said, but I don't care what God said. Baby, just disguise yourself. There was a prophet who came to me. If you look in the 11th chapter of 1 Kings, I forget which verse, somewhere maybe around verse, just read as you get maybe three quarters down. You see where Ahijah comes to him. He says, I need you to go, precious. Disguise yourself. Go talk to the man of God. Very interesting that he wants the man of God's help right here. Listen, I'm going back to the second verse. And Jeroboam said unto his wife, or to his wife, arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh. Remember that Shiloh was where Ahijah, now we're going to have some names that might be confusion. Ahijah was the prophet that we saw who told Jeroboam that he would receive the 10 tribes. Abijah is Jeroboam's son. Let me go ahead and say it. Rehoboam is also going to have a son named Abijah. So let me say it again and want to go back to the text. Thank you for letting me try to make this clear. Ahijah is the prophet. Jeroboam and Rehoboam have sons, both named Abijah, not Ahijah, Abijah. Tonight we're looking at Jeroboam's son, Abijah, that has fallen sick. So he says, I need you to go to Shiloh where the prophet is that told me about the 10 tribes that I would receive. There is Ahijah the prophet. And so we see that third verse. Take with thee 10 loaves and cracknels and a cruse of honey and go to him. He shall tell thee what shall become of the child. Now, there's a lot here. And I won't tell you that I just intuited all by myself. Thank God for commentary. Sometimes it's right, sometimes it's wrong, but we're going to tell you what I think will help us to understand what's going on here. Some believe that what he asked her to take was just customary. And some would add that it didn't necessarily seem that it would be a gift, if you will. Let's look at this as a gift. That would seem that it's coming from royalty. Because if it was coming from royalty, realize that she's to disguise herself. So there is no connection. There is no association to Jeroboam. If that is true, first of all, we need to understand that he's being sneaky. He is being, what's the word that I want? He's being deceitful. I want you to pretend that you're, let's say, a commoner, if you will. So there's some that believe this. There's some that also believe that he might have been doing this so that he might get a wonderful or positive prophecy. I'm hoping that this is making sense. Before we move on, I just previously said something that I think should stand out to us. He set up false worship, but he wanted the people to still look to God. We call that syncretism. When an individual, when an assembly, a group of people will endorse and or practice something that God has forbidden, and then want to include that into the true worship of God, either by using the same place, in this case we know it wasn't, the same words or jargon, it is corrupt. It is profane. God was very clear before they got to the promised land what his expectations were. Even when someone goes to a job, they look for a job description. What are the expectations for you that I should, how should I comply? The children of God were to comply with God's, let's call it his description, his mandates, his statutes, his law. What saith God? Well, In light of that, we should understand that he knew he was wrong. Why not go to those calves? Jeroboam, why are you going to the man of God? Jeroboam, is there something that you really understand? Jeroboam, when God said he would bless you if you remain with him, why were you afraid that if the people continue to go to Jerusalem like they were supposed to, that you could keep them? God told you what to do. In our lives, saints, let's remember God has been explicit with what he wants us to do. He wants us to fear him. He wants us to obey him and not turn to the right or to the left. So many doctrines out there in the world sometimes that we want to mingle it with God. Let's be careful. Let's be careful. He wants his people to be distinct, holy, set apart. Peter picks up with that, I think. It's 1 Peter 1 and 15, be ye holy, for I am holy. You are set apart. You can't be like the world. You can't endorse everything. You don't say everything. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my strength and my redeemer. Let's go back to this text here. So he asked his wife to change her garments. I wonder if she even changed her voice, but it doesn't matter if you've read this. And so the Bible says in the fourth verse that she complied with his wishes. Listen at it. And Jeroboam's wife did so and arose and went to Shiloh. Shiloh, remember, was one particular point at a time in history where God's presence was there. And we went through the judges, you would see that. So she goes to Shiloh where Ahijah lived and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of age. I don't know how old he was. But as far as seeing, I don't know. When it says he couldn't see, I don't know if he just saw blurred visions. But listen, his sight, his vision was not very clear. Maybe it was just black. Bible says he couldn't see. Fifth verse, which is the last verse Dre read for us. Listen, it says, and the Lord said unto Ahijah, behold, this is so good. And the Lord said unto Ahijah, behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be when she cometh in that she shall feign herself to be another woman. Now, some people want to tell us that the Bible is a myth. People often want to tell us that the Bible is made up, yet they all want to believe so many other things. Let's understand something. God, who made heaven and earth, does not depend on us to work outside, and I'm using work to just help us understand it, with our understanding of how he does it. So we have the miraculous, which goes beyond what we call the natural. We are stuck on the natural. But to be born again, we need to understand that there's supernatural. And I'm not just talking about hocus pocus. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about God who can take a wretched life and clean him. I'm talking about the words of God, who can clean, the word of God, who indicts, the word of God, who demands that we repent when we walk out of his way. The word of God. God communicates with this prophet. Though he cannot see, he's got the best vision that we see in this particular portion of scripture. Now, she's going to try to pretend, but I am God, Ahijah. Let me tell you something. When she comes, I want you to know who she is. When she comes and she tries to lie by her actions, I want you to know who she is. The word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the sunder soul and as a spirit and as a discerner of the thoughts and the joints and marrow. I think I might have misquoted that. Hebrews 4 and 12. And then in the 13th verse, it says, You can't hide. Your intentions from God, and you always have to answer to him. Go look at it. Now, Dree, God has told this prophet that Jeroboam's wife is coming. Yeah, he's got his machinations because he wants his son, I believe. Some people say that this this son is a child. Some people I've read in one other resource that he was probably of age. Whether he was a child or not, I think he would think, okay, he could be the king of those 10 tribes. I think it is feasible. You may disagree if you want to, but there seems to be great preoccupation or concern about the life of this child. I think it's more than just that my child might die. No, you understand that God has pronounced judgment against you. And I believe Jeroboam wants his son to be the posterity that would take over that kingdom. That's what I believe. Let's pick back up. Hopefully you're still following me tonight. Let me look at the time. All right. We're going to pick back up with this sixth verse, Dree. If you feel like you need to read the fifth to go on into it, you can do that as well. And I'll ask you to stop in a second.
And it was so, when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door, that he said, "Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why feignest thou thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. Go, tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, forasmuch as I exalted thee from among the people, and made thee prince over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David, and gave it thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart, to do that only which was right in mine eyes, but has done evil above all that were before thee. For thou hast gone and made the other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisses against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as a man takes away dung till it be all gone. Him that dies of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dies in the field shall the fowls of the air eat, for the Lord hath spoken it."
Let's stop at verse 11 for a second. So now we're looking at verses 6 through 11, and my wife reads so exceptionally well. Hopefully you will remember what she said as I try to talk a little bit about what's going on. This is very much, how can I say, like a narration, expository. Jeroboam's wife, that is, she's met with the words from a godly man. She thinks she's going to give him a message or inquire. But he tells her, "No, though you've made the journey." I think one thing I read said she would have had to travel about 20 miles. I would imagine that since she might have had some type of person, you know, going with her. Some of the trails of traveling would be dangerous. Let's get back to the point. She thinks she's going to inquire and to deceive this man. Yet God, he's been in God's counsel, and God has said, "You know, can I say it like this? Here comes the liar. I talked about disguises. I talked about Samuel trying to disguise and this witch of Endor. I don't remember if I mentioned Tamar or not, but there's just different disguises in the Bible. And this one is not going to work. When God makes a pronouncement, sometimes time can pass and sometimes people can believe what they're doing is working, but we're talking about God. God." He says, "Just be frank with her. Let's get beyond all the pretenses." The world is full of so many pretenses. Sometimes we can't get down to the truth. And where is sin? The Bible says, when we look in Genesis 4, sin lies at the door. Let's get back to where we are. Sixth verse. "And it was so that when Ahijah heard the sounds of her feet," nothing wrong with his ears, "as she came in the door," he said, "Come in." Let me change my voice for a second. "Come on in, Jeroboam's wife." Let's cut through the chase. "Come on in." What did her heart do? I imagine it's like boom, 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 boom. Or maybe just dropped, metaphorically speaking, within herself, being dumbfounded. Lord have mercy. She was probably all ears, as we say, to hear what this man said. "Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why feignest thou to be another? for I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. You think you came to me, but open up your ears, because I got some news for you. Heavy tidings. I just imagine that she probably intuited. I can't deceive him. My husband sent me out here to deceive this man. Our son is sick. What could he tell me? What can he say? Seventh verse. Go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, for as much as I exalted thee from among the people and made thee prince over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed thee with all his heart to do that only which was right in mine eyes, but hast done evil above all which were before thee, for thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back.
Woo! She got to go back and tell her husband, you disobey God. He's pissed off with you. He's not going to uphold your unrighteousness. You want me to talk to him about our son. Perhaps you want our son to become king. God's not looking at what you desire. God wanted your obedience. He's not looking for sacrifices. He's not looking for pity. He wants your obedience. Jeroboam, what have you done? Jeroboam, what have you done? Now imagine this wife fulfilling what her husband desires, but she's the one who gave birth to this child. She got to go back 20-something miles with a heavy heart. She's thinking about this son, and now she got to tell her husband. She might have been mad at him, too. I don't know. Oh. Selfish, selfish man.
No, you let me talk, Jeroboam's wife. I got some news for you. Your husband has been wicked, and he's been so unlike David. We understand that David did have... Dree, I want you to turn. We're going to read it again, because we're nearing, I think, a point that I've wanted to come to tonight. Where I want you to turn, I want you to go back to 1 Kings 11 chapter. And I think this is the, let's say, 37th or 39th verse. And we've read it before, but since I get to talk tonight on behalf of the Father, I want us to hear it again. Because see, God is better than just. The one who defines just, he's better than just. He's holy. He's righteous. Makes no mistakes. Makes none. Oh, Lord, and is merciful. He says, you tell your husband, he didn't do like David. Now, while David, he said he's actually done, Jeroboam has done worse than Saul. I mentioned Saul tonight, didn't I? He's done worse than David. I mentioned David tonight, didn't I? He's done worse than Solomon. Solomon looks like the one who said, and Solomon loved many wives, and they turned his heart as he grew older, as he aged, as he grew older. They turned his heart from serving the true and the living God. But you don't see the degree of, let's say, disobedience. Are there degrees? I believe the scripture will show us that. Now, Jeroboam then built some images. Jeroboam then prohibited people from going to the house of God. Jeroboam, you're doing a somewhat new thing. Let's go back and just visit that a little bit. You're in First Kings 11 chapter. Is it the 37th verse? I believe this is where Ahijah, the first time, is talking to Jeroboam. If you're with me, I'll be with you. Would you read it, Dre? I hope that's what I was looking for.
And I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul designs, and shall be king over Israel. And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and wilt walk in my ways, and do that is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments as David my servant did.
This is, if you will, sort of like the initial contract. This is the initial understanding. This is the condition by which, Jeroboam, you get to be my servant and reign in the northern kingdom. But what, Dree?
That I will be with thee and build thee a sure house.
Yes, I'll build you a sure house. You don't have to do machinations. You don't have to try to figure it out. The prophet comes to you on my behalf and talks to you, tells you what to do. Don't go the other way. But what does it say?
I will build thee a sure house as I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee.
Great.
And I will for this afflict the seed of David, but not forever.
Okay.
Solomon sought therefore to kill Jeroboam.
Okay, it doesn't go into the butt right there. Mm-mm. That might be a few verses prior to that. He gives Jeroboam, like, but if you don't follow me, and you can understand that even if it's just by what we would say, I don't want to say default, but that's the word that comes to me. You've got to stay in my stead. Now, again, the way I'm teaching this is it looks like Jeroboam is thinking, well, I know that I'm cursed and the worship that I've set up is cursed. But what about our son? You cannot thwart God's plan. He may allow it to look that way. So there's a legacy. We see this legacy that seems to be continuing. And God's like, it's not going to happen. Let's go back to where we were in the scripture. I've lost my place. Drew, we were at, was it verse 9? I think I was in somewhere around verse 8 and 9. He says, you didn't do like David, who kept my commandments with all of his heart. When David sinned egregiously, and it took him, I said, several months, because the first child was born that died between he and Bathsheba. It's close to a year, but he repented and turned, still had consequences. But this ninth verse says of Jeroboam, but thou hast done evil above all that were before thee, for thou hast gone and made the other gods. This seems to be really the defining point of distinction, though we can look at sins in the lives of those going on. You blatantly, with the high hand, made other gods. This is why I've heard like two or three other people say, well, I don't think Jeroboam was setting up images and all. What? What? Does it? We might have some thoughts on things, but God is the final answer. God says, and made other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger. Thou hast cast me behind thy back. You disregarded me. I don't think so. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam. Now, some say, does God create evil? I've talked about that. What can seem to be a calamitous situation often is God's judgment, and it's not viewed as favorable to the one who deserves it. So God will call it evil. But that's the way we need to understand it. He says, I'm going to cut you off from, I will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisses against the wall. Now, he's like, what? That's strong language. But God doesn't need our approval for how he needs to talk or express himself. What he's saying is for the men who, when they need to relieve themselves, if they're like, okay, here, maybe I should I say this? Sometimes a man, if he's out fishing and there's no bathroom around, he'll relieve himself to go hide behind a tree if there's others out there. Guy who cutting grass sometimes, if they're, I can't go in the house, they go hide behind a tree sometime, get the job done. Any individual, I know, right? Anyone, sons that come from Jeroboam, you're not going to be able to carry the kingdom on. Jeroboam, what you doing trying to disguise? No. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Now, yeah, so any of your male offspring, it's like they're not going to carry on the kingdom. So the Bible's saying right here that God's like, I'm going to cut it off. There's no posterity. There is no lasting good legacy. There's an awful legacy. You were disobedient. That's kind of what we see here in the scripture. Drew, don't you read 10 and 11 again? And we're about to move on down. I'll touch on a little bit on 11. 10 and 11 again.
Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisses against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as a man takes away dung, till it be all gone.
God being rather explicit. When an individual has to release that which was eaten prior, some people say 5 hours, it's not needed anymore. The body's taking out all the nutrients that it needs and get rid of it. It's like, just like that's gotten rid of, no remnant, Jeroboam. So all the things that you want to do to thwart what I've already said, it's not happening. Read the 11th verse again, Dree.
Him that dies of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat. Mm-hmm. And him that dies in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. Where the Lord has spoken.
So let me speak a little bit to this. Lord willing, we'll get to a point where we're going to read about some of Jeroboam's son, because let me make sure I said the right name. Abijah, thank you. Abijah wasn't the only son, but as we read, it looks like he's the only one who had a little bit of, let's say, good in him. God preserves that good in him, but the other ones who would say, well, I'll be the king then after father dies. God's like, no, dog's going to eat them. Now, we've seen that of other people. Even Jezebel, it was prophesied that when Jezebel would die, the dogs would lick her blood. Now, the dog is like, back in the Eastern countries, it was considered very much like a scavenger, very much not like what we think of our domestic dog. They're always so cute and cute. No, just kind of like wild dogs out there. And so this is kind of the thing. So it's just really bad. And not to be buried for the Hebrew was very much a disgrace. So while we look at Abijah, he's going to get a proper burial. But the other sons, God's like, I'm cutting it off. I'm cutting it off. You're not even, there's going to be no one to rule on, with your name. Okay. So Dree, would you pick up from the 12th verse and read on down? And we're nearing, and we might stop a little bit. I know the time where we want to stop. So, but if you would read from 12 on down a little bit, please.
Arise thou therefore, get thee to thine own house. And when thy feet enter into the city, the child shall die. And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him. For he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave. Because in him there is found some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. Moreover, the Lord shall raise him up a king over Israel, who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam that day. But what, even now? For the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he shall root up Israel out of this good land, which he gave to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger. And he shall give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin, and who made Israel to sin. And Jeroboam's wife arose, and departed, and came to Tirzah. And when she came to the threshold of the door, the child died. And they buried him, and all Israel mourned for him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by the hand of his servant Ahijah the prophet. And the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he warred and how he reigned, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. And the days which Jeroboam reigned were 22 years, and he slept with his fathers, and Nadab, his son, reigned in his stead.
I'm going to stop right there. Okay, so there's about 8 verses that we're wanting to look at, and I've actually already talked about I guess you could say the first 2 or 3 here. This prophet, he tells Jeroboam's wife, your son is going to die, and he tells her the manner in which he's going to die. Now, what I've tried to get us to do is, sometimes I think when we read in the scripture, at least I'm guilty of it, I don't think of all the aspects, and I don't actually think I can, but just imagine this mother who gave birth to this child, however old he is, because the word child in, I think it's Hebrew, it can represent different phases of a child's life, whether it's a toddler on up into being a young man. So again, I'm not sure how old this particular child is, but let's go back to it. In the 12th verse, he says, arise, therefore, get thee to thine own house, and when thy feet enter the city, the child shall die. In the city, this is very different. Well, not very different, but it makes me think of the centurion that went to Jesus and said, Jesus, you don't need to come to my house. Just speak the words, and I know it's going to happen. And though distant, he says, when did the child, when was he healed? And they tell him, he says, and he remembered what the Lord said. This man of God, same spirit, spirit of truth. Lord, have mercy. So when you enter the city, he shall, is it expire? Is that the right word? Mm-hmm. It's going to expire. Oh, Lord. I wonder if she just went a little slower. I don't know. Just give him a little bit of life. 13th verse, and all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because of him there is found, because in him is found some good thing toward the Lord. I've talked about how not to be buried is a shame, particularly if you have the royal family, or if you were like a priest and so forth. Not to be buried was a shame. This is shameful. God's like, what you did was a disgrace. What you did was shameful, and I'm going to let it be known. Lord, have mercy. There's something beautiful, though. What it seems to say, that even though you, Jeroboam, went against my will, your son, this particular son, and I guess this would say a child can think, I think I was able to observe and understand things even as a toddler, because I learned from elderly people to watch people and study people. So I actually tried to do that. And anyway, so I think this would speak to a certain maturity of this child being a little older. I'm not saying I was mature at 2 or 3, but I did try to observe people. So I think that would give us a little hint into this child being a little older. Point is that in spite of Jeroboam, it looks like this child has a love toward God. And God's like, you know what? I'm going to honor that in this child. I'm not even going to let this child live a little longer. I'm going to say to mess it up. I think Tim taught a lesson a long time ago, the king that lived too long. I think it was about Hezekiah, who had done well, and then he asked God for 15 more years, did 15 more years. And then I think he had some of those foreign kings and coming to the temple of God, showing them God's gold and all that. The king that lived too long. Anyway, it was more to it. 14th verse. Moreover, the Lord shall raise up a king over Israel who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam that day. In other words, he gives a little more insight to how is it going to be that Jeroboam's offspring and himself are cut off. So we see that the dogs are going to, I think we saw, eat the remains of some of his sons. The fowl will come and eat the remains. But there's going to be a king. This speaks to conflict, if you will, military conflict, which we shall come to sooner or later as we continue in this book. 15th verse, for the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed. Now, it's interesting. The Bible says God's going to raise up a king. But is God allowing this to happen? Jeroboam, though he tried to, let's say, skirt around what God had said, as Saul did, it's not going to happen. For the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water. A reed would be sort of like, I don't want to say a leaf, but like a long stem type leaf. And I don't know the best way to talk about it, but sometimes it's not the sturdiest thing. It reminds me of when I think Jesus was talking of John. He said, what'd you go out to see? Did you go out to see a reed shaking in the wind? It's like, because when the wind blows, it moves. When the water moves, the reed moves. But like, he's going to shake it as if it's nothing. God is able to do it. And he shall root up Israel out of the good land. This is Israel, this is the chosen land, which he gave to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger. Groves would be the high places, or the mountains, or under the trees where they would go. Remember when we read about Solomon, it talked about Ashtoreth, Moloch, and Chemosh. Now, there's certain, whether that would be the Moabites or whatever, they were worshiping other gods. And this was a thing that really displeased God. Okay, as we look at these last four verses, he says in the 16th verse, he's going to give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin and made Israel to sin. That's going to be repeated so many times. Jeroboam, who caused Israel to sin. Jeroboam, who caused Israel to sin. Beyond the legacy of being disobedient, he affected the rest of those nations. There would be every now and then, but particularly in Judah, your righteous king. But I just go back and I'm thinking of Solomon, who built those high places and those worship sites for his wives. Look at the legacy left down. Look at how the posterity is affected. It's a sad thing. Legacy and posterity, with or without God. The vast majority, I think most all of those kings in the north, going to be disobedient to God. Lord have mercy. Let's finish this up. So the Bible says, 17th verse, and Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tirzah. And when she came to the threshold of the door, the child died. It makes it sound like she's going to the threshold of the door of her house. But we have to remember sometimes these gated cities would have sort of like an entrance way. So based on what we read before, when you enter, get to the city, the child is going to die. This is how I'm interpreting this right here. The child dies. Wonder what sadness she felt. What sadness did Jeroboam felt? Had he just been obedient to God? Yes, this child offspring would eventually die, but better to die righteously as opposed to being outside of the will of God. So I believe this child seems to be righteous, but in the sense of why not the father being righteous? Why not just being in the stead, having led the whole 10 tribes in the way of the Lord? Well, these last couple of verses just reiterates that Jeroboam dies. So let's read them and then we're going to stop. I have a prayer and we'll open up if there's going to be any discussion. So 18th verse, and with respect to the child, and they buried him and all of Israel mourned, which was proper, and mourned for him according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by the hand of the servant Ahijah the prophet. And the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he warred and how he reigned, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. And the days which Jeroboam reigned were 22 years, and he slept with his fathers, and Nadab his son reigned in his stead. If you were to look at these remaining verses 21 through 31, this is sort of what I covered. Well, this is basically what I covered and Second Chronicles, the 12th chapter on last week. So I'm going to pray. We'll stop right here and open it up for discussion, insights, questions, if there are any. Thank you, God, for giving us an opportunity to go through your scripture. I ask that you help us all to live according to your word. And when we find that we're going wayward, help us to repent, not to be stubborn, but to understand that in your chastisement is love, and that you still want obedience. Help us, God. We just thank you for your mercy. We ask these things in your son Jesus's name. Amen. We are now open for discussion. Okay. If there's any other things that you might have thought about, if you have a question, I'll do my best to answer it. If not, then there's perhaps someone online who will be able to respond. So we're open now for discussion. Is it? Well, we can't mute it, can we? Yeah.
Did you ever try to reconcile the difference between someone entering the city and crossing over the threshold for the death of?
Well, to be honest with you, son? To be honest with you, the thought didn't actually occur to me, because when I read it, the several times I read it, I didn't even put the two together until I just read it. So I had been thinking house, but then this particular time I was like, that seems to contradict what the previous verse had said. So just thinking about that, that's why I say I'm interpreting it this way. If you know otherwise, please share. But I did not reconcile it.
I neither have I, but That's something that I've been meaning to work on before, and it slipped my ever loving mind.
Mm-hmm.
Can you turn it up? It's all the way up.
Okay. No, I didn't reconcile it. It just dawned on me right then. I didn't think about it to just then. It's like, okay.
Well, there's always the option that you may not even know that there's a possibility that both were said. I don't know how many times they talked, but I just know that that was one that I noticed years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When I read it, like when he got to this, you know, the child died.
It would be interesting to look at the verb died, because sometimes in our translation, we will have like what might be called a simple past, where it looked like the child died at that moment. But it could be originally that the child had died, which meaning had already died. So it could actually be a translation. So a nuance with the translation. So if it were the home, then that's what I would think based on, you know, the previous verse, but then I guess we need to look at that verb too. So that is interesting.
Well, in the NASB, it says, as she was entering the threshold of the house, the child died.
I didn't reconcile it. That's good.
So I don't really know what's going on with those two different things. I just didn't look into it. Now, I mean, there may be another lady on the line that knows, but I shall not call her name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Dre.
Okay.
What is the first person?
See how wise I'm learning to be.
you might be improving, Tim.
Well, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations of those that fear him. Add the qualifier.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't add the qualifier, you're gonna have God not judging anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, Jeroboam, he was bad. And he was the anointed of God. And I'm pretty sure people looked up to him. Because, you know, when the Bible teaches in Jude that some people have people in admiration because of advantage.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of person Jeremiah was. I mean, not Jeremiah, but Jeroboam mm-hmm. was. He was a person held in high admiration because of advantage. Some parents are like that, but they lose that which God had for them to have. So that was very informative, and it had a lot of points in it that, as a man, I want to avoid.
Yeah.
That man caused his wife all that pain. I don't think I had thought about that walk back.
Mm.
Knowing my son going to be dead. Dead, he's going to be gone. And my husband didn't have to do this. He didn't have to do this. Then he had the unmitigated nerve to send me there and try to trick the prophet. Had me being complicit in that. All I did was trick myself out of joy.
Mm-hmm.
Jeroboam. That's a long way to walk. Go ahead, Precious. I'm sorry.
I was thinking about Gary's title about legacy and posterity with or without God, and just thinking of, when I think about Jeroboam, I think about what his legacy is. Jeroboam that caused Israel to sin. You know, because I mean, that's one of the ways that I was able to distinguish him among all the kings the first time we went through the books of the Kings and Chronicles, when we were studying all the kings of Judah and Israel. And that is his legacy, and that's how the Bible describes him: Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin.
That's God's assessment.
Mm-hmm. And that's the one that matters.
See, Gary, your message rubbed off on her.
Yep.
How would you like to be Gary, who calls seeking truth to sin?
Oh, Lord.
It calls you and G to sin.
They don't need his help.
But just imagine if that was your name. Gary, the son of Billy, that calls you and G to sin.
Was it David that said, keep my name out of your mouth?
See, you probably have gone from discussing and gone to meddling.
Yeah.
That's what your daddy used to say.
Yep, he did say that.
I would like to see somebody in the Bible, so-and-so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, who calls Israel to walk uprightly, who mm-hmm. calls Israel to walk in my statutes.
Mm-hmm.
You see, because there are some. Hezekiah did it one time. He was like, Lord, they ain't bathed yet. Lord, they still ceremonial unclean. But I'm going to ask you, please. We ain't been doing this a long time, but we're trying to get it right. Pardon. You know, when you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the antithesis of Jeroboam.
Yes.
He is the antithesis of Jeroboam. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, they call Israel, and even the Israel that is from above, to hold on to God's word, to overcome and to be what he would have them to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how can we say we follow him if we don't cause anybody to follow him? Unless some people are just totally different than the majority of the people, so many of us have taught other people to sin.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in our life. Now, I'm not going to say I ever taught anybody how to sin, but I'm going to at least say that all of us, you know, just by virtue of living in this world, have probably taught somebody. But I don't want to do all of the indicting of me that I know that's really resident within my life that has been.
Mm.
So I thank you for the message. I can't speak to anyone else, but I thank you for me.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for your comments.
Yes, sir.
Is there anyone else? And if you have something to say, you don't have to be quiet for my sake, okay?
I was just going to say I was collecting when you was reading.
Oh,
it was so good.
She sent me a text. She was like, that was awesome. Oh.
You know, Dree does it so well. I'm like, okay, I got to try to read this part, you know. And
I thought about it tonight, but I didn't think like I had enough gravel in my voice tonight. I thought I would be coughing and stuff.
Well, I'm just glad to. Sometimes when I start reading, I lose my place. So, but you know, you and Tim got us turned on to these dramatic Bible, how do you call it, Jay? The Bible, yeah. Dramatized Bible. Yeah. So, but it was actually fun too. So,
so I have a question.
Uh-oh, let me see what it is.
I just wonder if, you know, if Jeroboam's wife would have not come back into the city.
She said,
you know, could there be a different outcome?
Your son gonna die. So she's like, well, what if she didn't go back to the city?
What if she didn't come back, you know? What if she just went to Egypt or something? I don't, you know. What do you have
based on what I see, this is my conjecture.
Yes,
because
sir.
that was like the seemed like to be one of the main facts that your sons are gonna die. This one will have a honorable burial. It would seem like I'm just thinking that God would let it happen, maybe even some other way. And I do know that there's occasion where David asked, you know, with these people, I think the men of Keilah, will they give me over to Saul? And he says yes. So David decides to do something else. And it doesn't happen. So it almost like, did God tell the truth or not? So there was room for God letting David do something else and it not happen. But in the sense of like judgment, where it seems God has pronounced judgment, which I think is different than the Keilah situation, God will still let it somehow take place. So when, like, if you look at, like, for instance, where I say, Saul tried to kill David. It didn't happen. Just different things like that. So that is my conjecture on it, which definitely is not definitive, but that's the way
it would have happened anyway.
Yeah, that's the way I'm leaning.
Okay. I was just wondering, you know, because you have prolonged it or something, you know, like he told one guy that, you know, don't go back the same way you came. Maybe she should have went back the same way she came.
I think that's a good question.
Anyway, but I think she, knowing who she was, it's funny that Jeroboam, you know where the truth is, you just refuse to submit to it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So you know who's telling the truth, who's doing the truth. You know truth exists. You know God has a voice on earth and he's speaking. You know all of these things, but you suppress it in your unrighteousness.
Oh, Lord.
Because that in your heart, you really want to be king and you want to be king your way. Burger King.
Yeah. That would have been funny if I had titled it Burger King. That would have been funny.
And so you decide that we're gonna let's forget about the rock and let's go build something on sand. Let's build a legacy on sand. And I'm gonna pack it tightly. Is you gonna think it's a rock when I offer you a position? You gonna think it's everlasting? You gonna think you're gonna have security in it? And this is what we do when we build our lives outside of God. We gotta work, and we gotta do this, we have to do that, and we gotta be social, we gotta do so and so. It's all sand. And like Tim said, all of us have had sin in our lives. We've done some stuff. We've called somebody to sin. That's that sin. And it offers you that pretend like it has security for you. Like, you know, we can match that with the rock is. We can match that. We price match. We can do that. And it's what the world offers. But Paul talks about building on that foundation. He said there's no other foundation but the rock,
right,
which is Christ.
Which is laid.
And so be careful how you build upon it. Be careful how you build. Because Jeroboam thought he was building on God's legacy on his kingdom, and it's going to be the rock. It wasn't. His work got demolished. Fire came. Mm. Judgment. Their hair withered. You can't build on me like that. It will be tested by fire. Yes. But in our own lives, promotions, staying somewhere on the job, dating somebody. Mm. How you building is this going to sit right on the rock? Because the rock rejects.
Yep. It is an offense.
He can accept you or deny you. He's not a concept. He's a person. And it's like, is this good? Is this good for the kingdom, or is this just good for my kingdom?
Hmm.
And shouldn't it be one? Anyway, that was my thought about that.
Well, that's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's like part B.
Thank you.
I like how you pull that in and say judge by fire. From what's that, Corinthians 3, somewhere around in 1 Corinthians. That's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I felt like you had something.
And I just thought they were stupid, because, you know, I thought Jeroboam had to be stupid for thinking that if this man know all of this and he know when your kid gonna die, how he not gonna know that's your wife? That don't even make sense. If you think he can really see, it makes no sense for you to say put on a disguise and fool him.
Right.
You know, and he doesn't get it by sight.
Yeah.
You know that.
And you know, I think part of that stood out to me really the most, like when I first had gone back and I was reading it, and he said, "The Lord sent me to you." And he's sitting there waiting on us. Like, that's too loud right there, right there.
Yeah. We're like, you so sure he'll tell you what's gonna happen with the child. But he's not going to know that that's your wife. That's just dumb to me. How do you think he sees, you know, like, he doesn't see like that. God gave him a different kind of sight.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's good.
Those are my thoughts on that. Oh, I had another thought too. Because I thought they made a really good team, you know.
Jeroboam and his wife.
Yes.
Okay.
I think they made a really good team. I think they made a decision and they came to a conclusion, and, you know, each party was able to do what they needed to do. And if he told her, like, the man, go dress up and act, pretend like you somebody else, she said, yes, and go to this place and take what I tell you. You know, that unity. They had unity. That's how the wicked do, though. They know how to stay together.
That's true.
They know how to be united.
But I still was. I mean, I think there's good points. But just to go back and to have all that, you know.
Well, even if the wife doesn't get to be the president, you all did a thing together.
Y'all still together. Y'all gonna be still together as dung.
I think one of the reasons she went back is she might have been scared not to enter in. If it had even entered her mind, she was told to go back.
Why are you saying think Jeroboam would have had a kill?
He told her to go back.
Oh, okay. I got you.
It said, Yahweh, see, first of all, you were sent to me And that ain't that, that was nice that you were sent to me. But I'm sent to you. So you were sent by the word of man, and I'm sent by the commandment of God. And I'm gonna say it like it was said in the contemporary world. You got a button, but my button's bigger, okay?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I was sent to you, and I ain't even moved. But I was sent to you. Now tell him. Now you get up. This is what Jeroboam said. You get up and you disguise yourself. Go dissimulate. Go live a lie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then try to bribe him. Go in there with some flattery.
Mm-hmm.
Get some food. Get some honey. Do it.
Gary, you did say that was like, that wasn't food that it would come from a king. Mm. That it was
That was one of the thoughts that I read. So I figured I would lay out, I think it was three different thoughts on it. So.
Yeah, I saw that crackins. I was like, did she take him some skins?
I was taking some crackling cornbread. You know how they crackling cornbread?
You better look behind the English, because they weren't supposed to be eating those swine.
Yeah.
Oh, it could be crack wheat.
Yeah, it's like the hard cake, they say.
It was like the what?
A hard cake.
Okay.
Like
okay.
A biscuit, almost like, but it's harder, but you know. It might be some cornbread.
God said, here, sit this woman over here to ask something for you. She gonna come in here as a liar. She gonna come in here pretending, fronting, hypocrite. Mm-hmm. And Elijah could hear better than he could see.
Yeah.
And he said, "But why are you tricking? Why are you tricking? See, that's the problem. You're tricking with the wrong one. Because I'm sent to you, and I ain't moved. But this word is coming with the thunder. I'm sent to you, Heifer. I'm sent."
Backslide, Heifer.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
I'm sent to you. You better believe this, Raekwon girl. I'm sent to you. And I want you to give him his history. Because I exalted you. I exalted you. I made you a star prince. And I won rent the kingdom from David. And I gave it to you. You didn't do anything. You were stinking. You were scary.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't do like David. They ain't never served another god like that. Never did. He got a little warm in his crotch, but he didn't go out and go get him another god. And he repented for that. And he said, "You done evil." Listen to this comment. "You have done evil above all that were before you." Good God Almighty and Trender. How can you do wickeder than Saul? He went to a witch.
I know.
Ma'am. He is devilized.
He is. Saul did that one time, and you set up your witch, your own witchcraft and divination.
He is devilized.
And then you did that, and then you made images, and you made me angry. You made me angry. Didn't you know you didn't want to make me angry? You didn't know you weren't supposed to make me angry. You provoked me. It's like you stuck your finger in my eye. Paul talked about fools like this. Said, "Do we provoke the Lord to anger? Are we stronger than he?" Breath and draws, if they wore draws. You provoke me to anger. That's when it's getting righteous. And then after he did that, you cast me behind your back. You treated me like they do a girl on a booty call that all I want to do is go there one time.
Mm-mm-mm.
You cast me behind your back. You threw me away like when you pick something between your teeth and spit it out. You treated me like you picking up pecans and you don't like this. And you treated me as if I was nothing. Yes, I'm angry. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna show you. You raised your horn.
Now
I'm gonna bring calamity and evil upon you. I'm gonna tell you how much it's gonna be. Ain't nobody gonna piss on the wall no more. No more pissing. Not on the wall. You might squat on. Somebody might squat on the ground, but you ain't pissing on the wall. I need you to understand when I talk about what you all gonna call gin in the future is really sex. I ain't dealing with verbs. I'm dealing with people and their sexuality. And I'm gonna cut off the males. We don't need no more of them. Mm-mm. And I'm gonna tell you now, y'all gonna be dog duty. You cast me behind your back, I'm gonna turn you into what you are.
Oh,
dog mess, all your people. Dog mess, bird mess, bug mess, fly mess, maggot food. That's what the Bible say.
Yep.
Him that died the germ. He did that, first of all.
That's strong language.
You act like you want to piss on me.
Yes.
Piss on the wall. Defile the wall. You act like you can't defile me, fool. Mm-mm. So the one that dive you in the city, the dogs, going to eat in that short elementary canal dung. You die in the field, the birds going to find you. They swarm in the sky to look for dead. They going to eat you. And we know about the flies and the bugs and all of that. You knew about the dung beetle, Jeroboam. And the Lord said it. Here's why I say I believe she had to go back. Have you heard all of that? Arise, therefore, and get to thine. So whether you did it or not, you want to say use that as a prophetess, okay? You want to say when they tell Mary to go tell them Jesus is risen, won't you use this one? Arise and get out of here. Get out of this house. And when your feet enter to the city, the child shall die. In Israel, that sorry people, they going to mourn and bury him. For only him. Not no one else. Not your grandchildren. Just him.
Oh.
That's the only one they going to mourn for. And that's the only one I found a good thing in him. Or toward him. They get up and go. And I'm going to cut off the house of Jeroboam. Yes, and then the Lord said, I'm going to do more than that. I'm going to scatter Israel. I'm going to tear them up. So, yeah, her heart heavy. Her child going to die. Her husband going to be dung. The children going to be dung. The people going to be dung in the nation that you had confidence in. You were a first lady. You were a first lady. In the black church, you've been first lady. If you had been in a church like Joel Osteen, you might be the first lady.
Oh, Lord.
And you're going to be the first lady of something less than Romper Room.
Oh.
You're going to be first lady of the dong hill.
Oh.
All that dong. You're the first lady of all that dong. Your husband going to be dong. Your husband. Your other children dong. Your children, the people that served you, that made you feel good and big about yourself, dong. The priest, dong. God is letting you know y'all are full of dong.
That's some perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't
and
love
Revelation
you.
Do some of the same kind of talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't love you unconditionally. The evidence is I got mad. You just, Let me just say it like this. You tried me. You tried me. You tried me in all your might. You threw me behind your back. In all your might, you provoked me. In all your might, you did the same daggum sorry, nasty, filthy, McNasty thing that Hophni and Phinehas did. You might not have done the women, but I bet you did in that religion. You threw me behind your back, and then you want to go hear a word from the Lord. And by granted, you're going to hear one. And it caused your doggone ears to tingle. Yeah, she probably went home crying, hyperventilating. She probably had to put a paper sack over her head. What's that condition when some of our Caucasian sisters have to put a paper bag over their head? They call it a panic attack.
Yeah,
but it's you imagine, just imagine what it's like to know you're gonna lose somebody, and you're talking to God,
yeah.
And this
yeah.
person has read this person has read your cards, and just told you what's gonna happen to your home, told you, what, and then your son gonna be dead.
Mm-hmm.
That he was offered really, you no repentance.
He gave her a bright side, said he, but he's good. That's
yeah, but
I'm
the thing is, you
away.
Helped. You probably helped him be bad.
Yeah.
You could have left Jeroboam and been killed yourself and been better off. Now you are a participant. And it sounds like to me you're going to live to mourn it.
Yeah. That's what it
sounds
like.
Him that is of Jeroboam. I don't even know if any of the women died because of the Jeroboam right then. It said him. Then that other sap sucker, well, that's a bird, you all. My dad just used to say it all the time. I thought he was cussing. But that other dude, I think his name started with a Z or whatever. Army was coming, and he's one of the descendants of Jeroboam and burnt the house on himself. You know how scared Zimri? You must be.
Oh, is it Zimri?
I think it's Zimri.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Zimri. I knew it started with a Z, but I was kind of quivering in my mind. But I'm telling you, you imagine how scared you must be. That, let's say if somebody was coming at me right now where I am, and I know they're coming to kill me. And so I decided, y'all ain't going to get me, and I just burned the house on top of myself. Maybe he killed himself first, what I'm saying, set the fire, and then killed himself and not let the fire kill him. You could, it doesn't say that didn't happen or did, but you could, you know, because they had ways.
He said he burnt the king's house over him with fire.
Right. See, so you can start the fire before
and
you
died.
Die.
Yeah, it says, and died after that.
See, and you could try to kill yourself so that you don't feel it, and God won't let the snuff out of your breath. They call snuffing it out. He might let you suffer, like when you hit a dog or something, or with a car, and you don't mean to. And I saw a deer the other day suffering like that. Coming home, we was sitting on the street, and I said, "Is that a deer? Is that a deer down like that?" And I went back to look. Did I go back and look in the car? I think I did, and I think I might have got out. I don't remember. I didn't know I wasn't going to get close because the hoofs. But I felt so sorry for the deer. I wanted to be in the country where I could shoot it in the head. You know, it was suffering. He couldn't get up. Whereas that might seem incompassionate, but he was good for nothing. When the deer can't get up and it's in the road, and it's like it's laying on its side with its head because it got a kind of long neck, I felt sorry for it. And I knew that, Tim, you're not in the country. There's just certain things you better not get caught doing. And Lord knows if I got caught doing something like that by some people, cruelty to animal, and I might do some time.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they can shoot a horse,
though. Or they can take a baby out of the womb and they can say we want more than that.
Oh, yeah.
We want that. That's what we for. And Oprah would join them.
Yes.
I tell you the truth. I had to learn. But I know when I saw that, that's the way some of us probably look before the Lord. We feeling good and strong and magnificent, and we probably really down on our last, not even on our last leg, just struggling. Because Jeroboam still felt like, you know, it's going to be okay. You know what I mean? Maybe I can get a good word. You know, like they on Facebook here, people say, I need a word. Well, sometimes they don't understand what I understand about the Bible. Jeroboam got a word. Folk act like when you get a word from the Lord, it's always something you want to hear.
He got a word on one time.
See, the Bible not like that. She got a word. He got a word. But if I were to give somebody a word like that from the Lord, then I'm about, I don't believe in negativity. I believe in positivity. Well, he positively died. He positively hit May, got upset. So what happened is people start using terms that ought not be. So instead of saying something I don't like and that don't tickle my ears, you call that negative. And I'm not gonna take a negative confession. But when there is something to make your itching ears happy, that's positive. But you're still a vapor.
Because it's like you make something negative to make it as if it's void of truth. Since it's negative, and it's like it's not. Truth is always positive.
Yes, it's positively the truth.
That's true.
But you respond to it the same way you respond to God. You know, you go ahead, you wife of Jeroboam. Why are you up here lying? Bringing me fake news. You bring me a lying report. But she didn't say she was Jeroboam, wasn't Jeroboam. Yes, she did. God is a God of knowledge. With him asking the way, God told the prophet, she going to come in here disguised. She going to come in here with a mask on. She going to come in here pretending. She going to dissimulate. She going to come in here dishonestly. That's what he said. The news she purporting is, I'm just a regular person. I ain't all of that, but I just need a little information. God ain't ever liked that kind of news. And I'm mighty afraid that many people call themselves children of God. They suck down propaganda like a baby suck down milk too fast.
And then they throw it up like a baby.
If you don't put the right kind of nipple, let's say if you're using a bottle on a baby, and that nipple too, that hole in that nipple too big, child will get strangled on it, won't they?
Oh, yes.
Well, that's how people get strangled on lies.
Oh,
and suck it down. And the thing that really get me and make me offset so much, you let these ungodly homosexuals tell you how to feel about somebody or morals. You let these murdering baby abortionists tell you how to feel about somebody. You let these God dishonoring people that hate God tell you. You let these people that would get up there on TV and be naked tell you how to think and how to act when they kiss and letting somebody squeeze on their nasty bottom on film. You let people get up there that have murdered and lied and all of that and gotten away with stuff tell you how to think, and you don't think there ought to be some kind of difference? You ought not feel something when you and they are aligned on the same thing? That ought to bother you a little bit, just a little. Just a little. There are some black women, I'm telling you now, you want to be egalitarian as a man, you want to be open as a man, and you want to be multicultural, and you want to be inclusive, there are some black women that if they know you have ever laid up with another man, they don't want no part of you. They don't want no part of you. They don't want you to be their close friend. They don't want you to be. But why we can't have that discernment as the children of God, that there are some people, because of who they are, even if I agree with 10 things they say, I still know who you are. And you and I are not on the same page. Jeroboam still knew that was a man of God, as Ann said. He knew where to go to get the truth. You still knew. And you still wanted some benefit. Mm. But Ahijah said, we ain't on the same page. We're not. I ain't got nothing good to say to you, good or bad. I'm going to just tell you what the Lord say. Now, that's good or bad, but I ain't got nothing on my own. All I'm going to give you uncut word. That's how I want to be for the Lord. If I could learn how to have that uncut word, because sometimes it's our opinions, when we give our opinions to people, that we have to take that back. Well, I was wrong on that. I thought I was right. But boy, it ought to be when we in the butt-naked word and know that what we say applies to the situation. That should give us a comfort.
Mm.
Like, you shouldn't have done that. God ain't ever told you to do that. Well, baby, this nothing. Now, if I get raised my voice, I'm going to stop real quick. You'll find sometimes somebody be praying for this man, and he married. I don't need to hear from the Lord on that again. I don't. I might need to hear what he's going to do to you, but I already know what he says. You covered in that woman's husband. There are some women, if they know you like that, they won't even mess with you, thank the Lord. But there are others that fear you won't give them disease. And so some men are put on a wedding ring and act like they're married. Well, this wife of Jeroboam, she could have put on a ring and act like took off a ring and act like she wasn't married, or could have put on one and act like she was married to somebody else, a cheap ring. The Lord know how to judge. And I pray in my conclusion that God would give us the ability to judge and to speak his word in such a way that the people would fear him and not us. I'm through talking.
Well, that was good too. Lots of things to remember and think about. Well, I appreciate the comments tonight. Is there anyone else that has any comments tonight? Well, I think that was a part C, and it was all good. So, well, we're going to go ahead and close out, and hopefully, Lord willing, we'll be going into the 15th chapter of 1 Kings on next Tuesday. And so hopefully we can connect back up on Thursday night and get some more. So we're in 78, right? I think we're in 78.
Psalm 78.
Mm-hmm. So we love you all, and please keep praying for us. We'll be praying for Mr. Crandall. He, of course, he's not there anymore, but he comes by from time to time. So, and especially for his wife and his granddaughter. So, we love you, and Lord willing, we connect back up on Thursday night. Good night, everybody.
Okay, love y'all. Good night.
Night.